Gildan Media presents Your Coach in a Box, affordable, life-changing audio programs. The Idea Hunter: How to Find the Best Ideas and Make Them Happen, by Andy Boynton and Bill Fisher, with William Bowl. Preface. Why hunt? Ideas matter. We could talk at length about the impact of blockbuster ideas, like the microchip and mass production, but one of our favorite examples has to do with something less celebrated: coffee cup lids. Many people have already forgotten the ritual they used to perform after ordering their latte or double shot espresso in a coffee shop. Until fairly recently, customers often had to fumble around the counter looking for the right size lid, because a medium lid would not fit if they were holding a large cup of cappuccino. All that changed with the introduction of one-size-fits-all lids, the product of an idea that required some tinkering with the design of the rims of disposable coffee cups. The notion was just a little one, not often talked about today. But one economist who appreciates such things is Paul Romer of Stanford University. That small change in the geometry of coffee cups means that somebody can save a little time in setting up the coffee shop, preparing the cups, getting your coffee, and getting out, Romer told an interviewer, explaining how the innovation has touched both the shops and their customers. He points out that millions of little discoveries like this, combined with some very big ones, have exponentially improved the quality of life over the past century. There's a larger point about the value of ideas, big and small. It has to do with the profound difference between a thing and an idea, between a mere object and a creative act. George Bernard Shaw shed light on this distinction. If you have an apple and I have an apple and we exchange these apples, then you and I will still have one apple, he wrote. But if you have an idea and I have an idea, and we exchange these ideas, then each of us will have two ideas. The apple in your hands will be exactly what it is until it is bitten into, but your recipe for apple crisp, which is an idea, could be used many times by many people. Getting back to the coffee shop, the cardboard cup is a thing. Typically, a person uses it just once before tossing it into the recycling bin. The lid is also a thing. Yet, the insight that one lid could fit cups of all sizes, small, medium, and large, is not a thing. It's an idea. What's more, it's an idea that coffee shop owners and managers all over the world can reuse over and over again. Romer takes up an interesting question. Which is a bigger obstacle, a shortage of ideas or a shortage of things? His research has shown that idea gaps, as he styles them, hold back progress and innovation much more than the object gaps. He is speaking primarily about how societies have ultimately risen out of poverty, not because of things, like paper or steel, but because of ideas about how to leverage those things. For example, the idea of mass production. His prescriptive is macroeconomics, but we're looking at this from another angle. What is more likely to hold us back as individuals? A lack of things or a lack of ideas? Are many of us falling shy of career goals because our desks aren't big enough or our phones aren't fancy enough? Not likely. Most of us have what we need, as far as that goes. And there are more pressing matters, such as figuring out how to make a more persuasive sales pitch, how to manage a project more effectively, how to ramp up a revenue stream, how to bring a product to market. The most important tools for achieving those ends are in your head and in other heads. Our focus is on individual managers and professionals. Ideas matter to them, now more than ever. You have to know a lot to produce anything of value, whether it's a tangible product or a service. You also have to combine and develop and apply what you know, which requires an idea at every turn. It wouldn't be oversimplifying the matter too much to say that in today's economy, knowing things is more important than making them. After all, the back of an iPhone reads, "Designed by Apple in California, assembled in China." There's a difference. The idea payoff is greater than the thing payoff for individuals and organizations, as well as for societies. Those who have lingering doubts need to look no further than the Google icons on their desktops and the iPods in their pockets. The employees that Google and Apple most value are the ones who understand they're working in an idea-intensive environment. They are valued for what they know and are rewarded for the ideas they've added to such generic items as search engines and MP3 players. They look at things like music players and think of ways to make them more usable and appealing. But Apple's luminaries and Google's gigastars are scarcely the only ones who win with ideas. During our travels, we have spent much time talking to customer-facing employees, like the housekeepers at Ritz-Carlton hotels. These people are expected and trained to look for fresh ideas about how to cater to each guest as an individual customer. They do so, first of all, by noticing things. The word idea, in fact, is culled from the Greek idean, meaning to see. They look at the 12 crunched-up cans of soda in Andy Boynton's hotel room, pull out a pad and pencil, and make a note. This explains why Andy now finds Diet Coke on ice when he decides to check into a room at the Ritz. Ideas matter to hotel workers. Shouldn't they matter also to people in sales and marketing, and to managers everywhere? The same could be said for teachers, engineers, consultants, and others who get ahead not just by working hard, but also by thinking hard. They are idea professionals, whether they describe themselves that way or not. They compete and collaborate more effectively when they know how to find and handle ideas. And those who do well share one basic strategy. They go hunting.